Are we ready for God's word tonight? Alright, Matthew's Gospel 28. Let's just a word of prayer. Our Father, we're grateful for tonight. We thank you for bringing us down here in an encounter, in a meeting with you. Together as a church, as your body, we receive your word in our heart. We ask tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, that our hearts, as we have sung in the songs, will be full of revelation. Revelation of your divine plan and our role in it. Your walk on the earth, the walk of your church, and our role in the same. We ask right from tonight that clarity is received in every heart. Pray tonight in your word as we open the scriptures. We ask beyond our belief system, beyond our experiences, beyond our thought patterns, beyond our bodies and concerns and interests, the word will gain ascendance. We ask tonight as revelation. You fill our hearts with your word. You fill our heart with the light. We ask just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. But every man here tonight together, we are made to see Jesus. And as we see him, we will see ourselves as he sees us lead. We ask that the word will be taught. Questions in our heart will be answered. Every gray area, we have light shed upon them, and areas that seems to be knotted together in our hearts will be straightened out by your word. We ask tonight, everyone, heart immersed in your word, as your word proceeds forth, it proceeds forth with a compelling power to do, to act on it, that we'll find our place in your plans and purposes as a church and also as believers. We ask tonight, clarity, the hope of your calling, being understood, being received through revelation in your word, tonight and tomorrow and the next. We ask that tonight, the hearts will have questions answered. Questions will be answered. Questions will be answered. Questions in every heart will be answered. By your word and by your spirit, we receive these in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. And the whole church says, amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's gospel is my text tonight. That text for this committee. In Matthew's Gospel 28, quickly, I'll be a little bit fast. Are we together? And I'm going to cover what I can cover tonight. And tomorrow morning, we'll get into Bible study. Hallelujah. In verse 18, Matthew's Gospel. Now, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Someone say, all power. Then it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, or lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 18 quickly. Because of my time tonight, I'll be a bit fast. In verse 18, Jesus said, or Matthew rather said, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. The word power there is taken from a word that implies authority. It implies the right and the privilege, a right, the ability, are we together, the access to do something. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, this is the text of our camp meeting. I put together what we popularly call the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So it says in 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, the word teach there, you know, is the word that implies to go make disciples. Now, I'm aware there are some Bible translations that just directly put it that way. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples. Now, if you hear your translation says that, can I just wait briefly? Well, we have translations that say that, right? It says, go and make disciples. Hallelujah. It says, go make disciples. Now, it's important to note that Jesus was addressing a set of people. This wasn't just a general meeting. Now, Jesus had different kind of meetings in the four Gospels. There were meetings that Jesus held and is holding with multitudes. Like you see, the Matthew 9 text, he had gone about in the synagogues and preached in the cities and villages. He preached to multitudes. The Sermon on the Mount was also preached to the multitudes. Matthew 5, 6, 7 was preached to the multitudes. There were many instances. Later on, you see Jesus fed 5,000 after he taught them. Are we together? Are we together? Again, to multitudes, John chapter 6. So, Jesus had meetings where he taught multitudes. Mixed multitudes. I mean, different kinds of people had gathered. Are we together? To hear him. And some of them to be healed. To hear him. Now, if you look at those same texts or narratives, you find that many times after he had taught, some people came to him to be healed. And amongst those people were a class of people described as Gentiles. Are we together? That is non-Jewish people. In some texts, you see that a centurion came to him for one of his servants to be healed. Are we together? Some of the texts, you see the Syrophoenician woman come around to be healed. So Jesus had a ministry to all forms of people. Hallelujah. The same with his teaching ministry. There were instances where Jesus taught God's word and he taught it to multitudes. Hallelujah. But you see, there were also some instances where Jesus taught the word of God and he taught it to a classified audience. In those instances, you see, the Bible says he was with his disciples. A very good example was the John 14 teaching. The John 14 teaching was the teaching with his disciples. It's a kind of a closed meeting, a closed teaching. Are we together? Because the audience in those moments were quite different from the audience he got from the mixed multitude meetings. Now look at something about the Matthew text we're reading. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples. I'll just use that translation. Go teach all nations. Go make disciples. Now I know he says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But in verse 19, it says to go make disciples. Importantly, is that if you read from verse 16, who were the audiences? Or who was the audience, or who were the audience of Jesus? In Matthew 16, there, it says, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee. Now, for the sake of a little bit of background, this was a meeting of Jesus upon his resurrection. He had risen from the dead there. He had been crucified. He was buried. Are we together? And he rose from the dead. So, upon the resurrection, he held this meeting. This meeting. Now, if you look at verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So, he called for that meeting. So, this is a disciples' meeting. Are we together? Are we together? It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him. Now, it says, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them. So, who are the them here? Disciples. Hallelujah. Disciples. He said he appointed them a place. Are we in a place tonight? Are we in a place tonight? He said he appointed them a place to meet with him. He says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, it is all power is given unto me. Hallelujah. Obviously, now, just for the sake of our intro tonight, I'll do some things I explain it on tomorrow, in the morning. Now, in verse 19 there, when it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, we said, he said it means to go make disciples. Now, that word disciples is from a word, are we together, that implies to train and to teach. So, when he said to go make disciples, it means you go train and to teach. You go teach. You go train. It's a word that implies to be schooled in something. To be taught, to be trained, to be schooled. It is the word matutheo in the Greek, where this text were actually written from. I spell matutheo for you, M-A-T-H-E-U-O. Are we together? Matutheo, T-H-E-U-O, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, which is used for a disciple. Or to disciple. Now, earlier on in verse 16, we see the same word there.
It says in 16, the 11 disciples went away. So like I said, Jesus in this meeting is addressing disciples. And then he says to those disciples to go and make what? Disciples. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He says to disciples to go make disciples. Disciples. He gives an assignment to a specific audience. Hallelujah. He says, go and make disciples. Go and teach and train. And he says that to his own disciples. In other words, he was addressing people that he had taught. He was addressing people whom he had trained. Hallelujah. Then he says to go and train others. To go and train others. To go make disciples. The very first thing we see in this text, like I said earlier, is that the people he was addressing were folks who had been trained. Now, in a disciples meeting, there are certain things we discuss that might not be discussed elsewhere. Are we together? Like I said, disciples are trained. Disciples have awareness. Disciples already have an orientation. So if he's addressing them, he will speak at the level they will grasp, because he has been training them. Then he says to go and make disciples. He told that to the 12. When Judas was not there, he says that to the 11. Glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God. So in a meeting of disciples, hallelujah, things are handed over to you. And part of the things that are handed over to you is responsibility. Responsibility. He calls his disciples. Then in that meeting, he gives to them what we call the Great Commission today. I know I've said several in our church, you know, that calls to teach around this, several, that in a meeting, are we together? When we come together in a Christian meeting, I think it was Miles Moreau that said that, that when we come together in conference or a meeting, beyond what happens, beyond the exciting moments, are we together? Beyond the excitement in the meetings, when we come together in conferences like this, the major thing that must characterize that conference is that we have come not to be entertained, but to receive a mandate. Are we together? To receive a mandate. What is a mandate? A mandate is a responsibility. We've come to receive. We've come to understand what is us. What is in the mind of God for us. That's what this conference is for. Ezekiel Church. So right in Matthew 28, the Bible said he calls his disciples together and then he says to them, he says to go and make disciples. What today we call the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. So the Great Commission was handed over to disciples. Hallelujah. The responsibility was handed over, what we call the Great Commission today. Just given to them. Now if you look at Mark chapter 3 and then in verse 14, Mark had said that Jesus had called the 12 to himself that he might be with him, that he might send them out. So again, these are folks that had been with Jesus and they had been trained. They had been taught. They had been equipped. And then he hands over the mandate to them in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So what happens in a meeting of disciples? Mandate is given to us. What happens in the meeting of disciples? Clarity about God's plan, what God is doing on the earth today. Hallelujah. If you ask some Christians, you ask them, you say, what is God doing on the earth today? Some Christians don't know. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse chapter 12 rather, in verse 1, It is now, brethren, concerning the things of the Spirit. He says, I will not have you. He says, to be ignorant. Hallelujah. In verse 3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God causes a curse. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He says, I give you to understand. In 1 Corinthians 12, right in verse 1, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant. Hallelujah. I would not have you to be ignorant. So, God doesn't want you to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to be ignorant of what He's doing on the earth. Where do we learn what God is doing? In this meeting, you will learn it. Are we together? Where do we discover what God is doing? Like I said, you find some Christians, you ask them, what is God doing on the earth today? They can't tell, they don't know. Sometimes they won't churches, they don't know. What is God doing? You see, one of the major characteristics of a disciple is awareness. A disciple is aware. Hallelujah. A disciple has what? Awareness. In Matthew's Gospel 18, and in verse 20, like I said, it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. A disciple is aware where God is. Hallelujah. Where God is. God is in His church. Glory to God forevermore. He says, when you are gathered together, hallelujah, He says, I am there in the midst of you. Jesus is here tonight. Are we together? And as we gather through every session of this meeting, Jesus is here. So a disciple must be aware. Awareness. Awareness of what God is doing. So look at that. In the Matthew 28 text, He calls disciples together. So the gathering of disciples is a special gathering. It's not an ordinary gathering. There are things that God will say and do in those meetings He won't do and say elsewhere. Are we together? Some say, well, God is everywhere. Yeah, God is everywhere, but He doesn't speak everywhere. God is everywhere, but He has not made everywhere His place of activity. It says, know you not that your gathering is what? Is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That is when we come together, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is here tonight. And throughout every session of this meeting, the Spirit of God is here. Hallelujah. So when disciples are gathered, what happens? Jesus gave His mandate in the midst of a disciples' meeting. When disciples are gathered together, it is a unique meeting where God does unique things. Glory to God. God does unique things. So in this camp meeting, God is going to do unique things. Hallelujah. He's going to do unique things in my heart. I'm going to be taught the word of God. I will come to the clarity of God's plans and purposes. Glory to God forevermore. So disciples were gathered here. Now quickly, before we close tonight, who is a disciple? Or who are disciples? The very first thing about disciples is that disciples are believers. Hallelujah. Disciples are first what? Believers. They are believers in the person and the work of God through Jesus Christ. Disciples. Disciples are believers in the work of God through Jesus Christ. Disciples are believers in the person of Jesus Christ. What is the person of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. In John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then it says in 14, are we together? He says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is God made flesh. Disciples are aware of that. A disciple is a believer. A believer in his divinity. Hallelujah. How that God came in the flesh, born of a virgin, to be the Savior of humanity. Glory to God forevermore. They are a believer in his divinity. A disciple is also a believer in the work of God. What is the work of God? God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Hallelujah. It is in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. That is what God is doing. God is blessing all the nations of the earth. What is the blessing? We're going to see it in the morning. Hallelujah. We're going to see that in the morning. God is blessing all the nations of the earth. Some say, but he has blessed. Yes, he has blessed and is blessing. Hallelujah. God is blessing all the nations of the earth through his son Jesus Christ. In the promise he gave to Abraham, he says, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In you, all the nations of the earth will be one. Hallelujah. Bible says in verse 6 that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. He repeated the same promise to Isaac. He repeated the same promise to Jacob. Hallelujah. What is God doing on the earth today? God is making all of humanity right with him. That is the work of God. He is making all men to be right with him. Through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Later on, maybe tomorrow morning, we're going to see that Matthew had called Jesus Christ in chapter 1, the seed of Abraham. Seed implies continuity. What it means is that what God told Abraham, God is continuing in Christ. Hallelujah. And everyone who is in Christ, God is continuing the same through you. A believer, a disciple rather, is a believer in the person of Jesus, his divinity. And is a believer in what God does or what God is doing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So God came in the flesh for the salvation of humanity. Came. He took upon himself the state of humanity in sin. Hallelujah. He was crucified and he rose from the dead the third day. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. Bible says that anyone who believes in him should be what? Should be saved and not perish. That is his divinity. That is divinity. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians rather, in chapter 1, the Bible calls Jesus Christ the fulfillment of the promise of God. 2 Corinthians. It says Jesus is the yea of God's promise. We're going to see the text also tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then in verse 18, I'll just read. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea or nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, even by me, and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promise of God in him are yea, and in him fulfilled, he says, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established you with us in Christ, he says, us with you in Christ, and has anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Hallelujah. So he calls Jesus Christ the yes of God's promise. What does the yea mean? It means the fulfillment. That means God's promise to humanity. What we see in the book of Genesis, which we're going to explore tomorrow morning. God's promise to humanity. Hallelujah. God's plan for humanity, which he promised to Abraham, he says it's fulfilled in who? In Jesus Christ. So in the person of Jesus, in the work of Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of God is revealed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God reveals his faithfulness. In Romans 5:17, Bible spoke about righteousness, which is given to us as a gift of God through Jesus Christ. To show you what God is doing. In that same text, Romans 4, Romans 5, spoke about Abraham and the promise of God through Abraham. How that God will make all the families of the earth right. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. God's promise to Abraham is that he will make all the earth, all the families of the earth. Now, when the Bible says the families of the earth, the Bible is talking about tribes, nations, nationalities. He's not talking about families as per surnames. He's talking about all forms of classifications that you use to classify human beings.
talking about their tribes, their nations, their races, their skin colors, their tongue, all the families of the earth. Hallelujah. I have some people say, oh, Christianity is a white man's religion. No. Hallelujah. Christianity is God's work on the earth. Ezekiel Church, that is what God is doing. That is the promise he gave to Abraham, we're going to explore in the morning. That is this promise to make the whole world right through him. So Matthew's writer comes around and then writing about Jesus, he says Jesus is that seed. So in Jesus, or through Jesus Christ, God fulfills his promise to humanity. He fulfills the promise that he had mentioned to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He fulfills it through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And any man who believes that work of salvation, that God came in the flesh, hallelujah, he died for our sins, amen, he was buried, he went to hell for our sakes, and on the third day he rose and is risen today, hallelujah. And whosoever believes that, the Bible says he's saved. John's Gospel 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not walk, perish. Hallelujah. But have everlasting life. Say, have everlasting life. Say, have everlasting life. So whosoever believes in the gospel, just like Abraham, he says God counts it to him for righteousness. Just like Abraham. Because look at what faith does. Faith calls God faithful. When I believe in the word of God, what I'm saying is that God is faithful. When I believe in the gospel of salvation, I am declaring that God is faithful. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says salvation is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Hallelujah. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Are we together, church? Are we together? Are we together, church? Galatians 2:16 speaks about righteousness not being by the works of the law, but by faith. By faith. So whosoever believes in the gospel of Christ, that of truth, God in saving humanity has sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ. He descended into humanity in the form of a man. That humanity is described as the Son of God. Whosoever believes in, and the fact that he went to the cross and he died, he took our place and is risen for our justification. Whosoever believes that has called God faithful. Hallelujah. That means you have not called God a liar. To not believe in the gospel is to say God is lying. But when I believe in the gospel, I am calling God faithful. Now look at this. The man who calls God faithful, God calls him righteous. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God counts that faith to him for righteousness. So faith calls God faithful. And God responds, hallelujah, by calling man what? Righteous. What faith? Faith in God. What kind of faith in God? Faith in what he has done through his Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many people here have believed in what I just said? You believe Christ came, died for you. Hallelujah. You believe he's risen for your justification. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. If you have believed by faith in the gospel, you have called God faithful. God has called you righteous. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, right in verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man in Christ, he says, the new creature, all things are passed away, all things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He says, to which God was in Christ. He says, reconcile the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto him. Hallelujah. And have given unto us the word, the mystery of reconciliation. He says in verse 21, that he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. So not only have you been made righteous, God is also extending his righteousness to thee. Through you. In Romans 1:16. He says in Romans 1, verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God was revealed. So God's way of making the whole earth right is seen in the gospel. The message of the gospel is a declaration of God's method of making the whole world right with Him. He reveals His righteousness through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He reveals how He seeks to make the world right through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He makes the world right by the gospel through faith. So He says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that whosoever believes, hallelujah, whosoever believes, John 3:16 says, shall not perish. In John 5:24, it says He has passed from death to life. He will never come unto condemnation, hallelujah, forevermore. He will never come unto condemnation, whosoever believes. So who are disciples? Disciples are believers. Say, I'm a believer. Disciples believe this with all of their heart. Romans chapter 10, it says, with the heart man believes, hallelujah. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believes what? Believes that God had raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God. Believers. So disciples have believers. They are believers in the name. In Acts 2, the Bible said, while Peter preached, the people believed what they preached. And 3,000 were saved. 3,000 were saved. By the time you look at Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, in Acts 4:12, look at what it says there. He says in verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. Someone say no other name. So salvation is in the name. No other name. If you believe this, you are born again. You are saved. You are saved. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and then verse 11, it says you are redeemed. Hallelujah. It says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. Say, I'm washed. It says, you are sanctified. I'm sanctified. It says, you are justified. Say, I'm justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says, you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. He says, it is in the name. It is by the authority. It is through Christ Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Say, I'm sanctified. I am justified. I'm forgiven. I'm indwelt. Say, I'm planted and rooted in Christ. Glory to God forevermore. So a disciple is a believer of these things. He believes that Jesus is God. He believes that God came in the flesh and He came to die. And He's risen today at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And He dwells in Him today. Glory to God. Number two, disciples, hallelujah, are also being taught. A disciple is someone who is being taught. Being taught. A disciple is a student. The word mathuteo, like I said, implies one who is being trained, one who is being taught. A student is a follower. A student is a learner. That means you are learning. Learning what? In Matthew's gospel there, it says, lo, I am with you. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, which includes Jesus' accomplishments and His instructions. So a disciple, number one, is a believer. A disciple is also what? A student. See, I'm a student of the world. See, I'm a student of the world. That means you don't get bored when the word of God is being taught. Hallelujah. Because you are a disciple. That means you're following a discipline. A disciple is an apprentice, something like that. A disciple is a learner, an adherent. A learner, a student. A student of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The life and the ministry of Jesus. What is the ministry of Jesus? We're going to see in this conference that the ministry of Jesus is world evangelism. He wants to save the whole world. Hallelujah.
He wants to save the world. The ministry of Jesus is world evangelism. A disciple of Jesus is a student of this ministry. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank God for ministries around us who are so concerned and are active in reaching the world. Thank God for ministries like the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Thank God for ministries like Winners Chapel and many other ministries around, deeper Christian life ministries who consistently reach out. Are we together? Consistently. Are we together? Reach out to the unsaved. That is the ministry of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is a learner of that ministry. He's a learner of the life and the ministry of Jesus. So upon being saved, upon believing to be saved, like I said earlier, when a man believes he's saved, upon being saved, we're expected to be learners. We're expected to be learners. We're expected to be students. The students of the new life. Hallelujah. I didn't say new life. I said new life in Christ. Glory to God forevermore. I said new life in Christ. Glory to God forevermore. We are students of the resurrection. We now learn. We learn what it means to be saved. In Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says when we learn, it says our minds are renewed. We can now discern and act out the will of God for our life. You see, nobody with an empty mind will fulfill God's plans for their lives. Nobody. An empty mind and an empty head cannot fulfill God's plan. See, for God to lead you in life, He needs your heart to be full. Full of His knowledge. Is that clear, church? For God to lead you and guide you in life, He needs your mind to be constantly full of His Word. Now, your mind can be full of other things. Sometimes you might find your mind full of the cares of this world. Bible talk about that in the parable of the sower. No! It says the one that brought forth fruit is the one that kept the good word in his heart. Is the good heart, rather, that kept the word in his heart. Hallelujah. Now, keeping the word in your heart is the process of learning. That means upon being saved, God expects me to grow. Why? Because Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. You cannot do well in Christianity without knowledge. You can't do well without the good knowledge of the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18, Peter, having given them discernment in the earlier verses of the same chapter 3, verse 18, he says, but you, beloved, he says, grow in grace. What is the growth in grace? He says, and in the knowledge. He explains the grace of God in that text as the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, but you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So a disciple is also what? A student. Yeah, I'm a student. Now look at this. Every student has a course, right? Students are found in a school, right? Students have a teacher, right? Are we together? And you also observe that students oftentimes are not found in isolation. Are we together? That is why the very word disciple already insinuates a community. You are one who exists amongst others. So a disciple is not found in isolation. They are usually found in communities. And because of the plan of God for disciples and believers, there's a parable in the Bible used to describe the church, the sheep. Because they exist in what? Community. Are we together? Are we together? So in learning, I also learned that I must be in a community. Community of other believers. Community of other believers. What do we call that community? We call it a church. The local church. So every disciple of Jesus Christ belongs to a local church. Why? Because what God is doing today, like Ken Hagin will say, that God is building strong local churches. Hallelujah. Hear me clearly tonight. I'll say this. God is not building hospitals. Are you with me? God is not building what? Hospitals. Now, are hospitals great? Yes. Do we need more hospitals? Well, I think we need more standard hospitals. Are we together? We need more effective hospitals. Are we together? Are we together? But God is not building hospitals. God is not building schools. Hallelujah. Can I get responses?
God is not building higher institutions. God is not building businesses.
No. I've had some people call themselves apostles to the marketplace. You better don't get it wrong. You weep on the last day.
God is not building businesses.
No. God is building what? Churches. Strong local churches.
Are we together? Strong churches. What are strong churches? Strong churches are churches where the word of God is taught properly. God's word is properly taught. And people are taught, are we together? To discern and to flow in the Spirit of God. The things of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The ministries of the Spirit. The giftings of the Spirit. Believers are taught how to be led by the Spirit. How to be full of the Spirit. Are we together? How to lead life in the Spirit. In the churches. Those are the churches that God is building. Amen. 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 And He's building those churches through disciples. He's building those churches through you and I.
In this conference, He'll find you useful in doing that.
Are we together, church? So disciples know this. They are students. The place of learning and training is the local church. And in the local church, there are personalities there. And those personalities have functions. They perform their God-given role in our lives. Male or female believer, poor or materially wealthy, aged or young, black or white. They are expected to be in the church where you are taught the word of God and you are also inspired to flow with the Spirit. God wants all believers in the church. Is it clear? Look at me, everybody. A churchless Christian is not God's plan. It's not God's plan. Disciples are students. No churchless Christian. In Psalm 68, in verse 5, he says, in verse 6 or so, he said, he said, solitary in families. He says, God in his habitation. The habitation of God is Israel. The habitation of God is the people of God. He says, God in his habitation functions as the father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows. What does it mean by the father of the fatherless, the judge of the widows in Israel? That is how things are set right. Justice. Are we together? Things are set right. It says the way God sets things right is by setting the solitude in families. When God wants to set the life of a Christian right, He puts you in churches. He puts them in churches. Strong churches. Hallelujah. So in those churches, those believers will give and they will also what? They will also receive in those churches. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God. So no churchless Christian. Believers are learners. They are students. Number three, believers are also men on mission. Look at that. It says go and make disciples. Disciples rather are also men on mission. They are men on mission. They are men consumed about the mission of God. They are men consumed. So in that meeting, having been raised from the dead, He met with them, the 11, and He hands over the Great Commission. Then He tells them, He says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? With power from on high. Hallelujah. The Bible says when they heeded to that in Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. It is on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it is they were all gathered together in what? In one accord. Hallelujah. In one place. Glory to God. And there came, are we together? A rushing sound, as of rushing mighty wind, and there appeared unto them tongues, hallelujah, cloven tongues like as of fire, hallelujah. It says, and sat upon what? Each of them, and they were all full of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Just like Jesus has said in Acts 1 verse 8, he says, and you shall receive power. Hallelujah. After that, amen, then the Holy Ghost what? Will come upon you. You shall receive power. After that, hallelujah. You shall receive power. After that, he says the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Or the Holy Ghost will be seen upon you. Glory to God forevermore. In the 2 Corinthians text which you read, we see that the promise of God to humanity is fulfilled in Christ, in that God has given us His Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit of God. God has given us His Spirit. So there is the indwelling through faith In John's Gospel chapter 14, he says in verse 17, he says, he dwells with you and shall be where? In you.
Hallelujah.
He says, it shall be in you, that comforter. It shall be in you. It shall be in you. It shall be in union with you. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. So that verse 20 says, in that day you will know. Glory to God.
So when he says, it shall be in you, the you there refers to the church. So we have the indwelling of the Spirit in our hearts. And corporately, we also have the indwelling of the Spirit amongst us.
Glory to God forevermore.
We have the Spirit of God in our hearts. You have the Spirit of God in my heart. Say, I have the Spirit of God in my heart. Say, I have the Spirit of God in my heart. Say, I have the Spirit of God in my heart. Say, I have the Spirit of God in my heart. In 2 Corinthians 1, I read again. Hallelujah. Then we close. It says in verse 18, I'll read verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, is God. He says, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Say, the Spirit of God is in my heart. And the Spirit of God in our heart is meant, hallelujah, to take over us.
Glory to God forevermore.
To take over you. Jesus spoke about that in Acts 1. He says, to put the Spirit upon. So Luke, in chapter 2, verse 4, says they were all full of the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Spirit. So look at this. Disciples are believers. Disciples are also what? Students. Amen. Then disciples are men on what? On a mission. That mission is in Christ. It is not separate from Christ's mission. That mission is in Christ. That is why the fundamental gift of salvation is the indwelling of the Spirit. Upon faith in the resurrection, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in the heart. You see, a man does not believe today and the Spirit comes after 10 days. No! At the spot of believing, hallelujah. See, God responds to your faith by the Spirit. Or with the Spirit. He responds to faith by the giving of the Spirit. In fact, the way Paul put it, he made it look as though it is even the Spirit that made you have faith. To show you how closely the Spirit walks with faith. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So the believer, the disciple, have the Spirit of God in the heart. So if you open your Bible, you open to Genesis chapter 1, and then you see the Spirit of God. You see that the Spirit of God is always described as an active being. He says in Matthew 1, in Genesis 1, he says in the beginning, he says, God created heaven and earth. He says it was all void and without form and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God did what? Moved on the face of the water. So the Spirit of God is described as a moving spirit, a moving being, an active personality. The Spirit of God is not dormant. The Spirit of God is active. That we're going to see later on tomorrow, we'll see the words used to describe the Spirit of God in Genesis, the strong and mighty wind of God that causes supernatural things to happen. The Spirit of God. So the Spirit which we see in the Bible is not a dormant spirit. The Spirit which we see in the Scriptures is not one that makes you to sit dormant. No. When the Spirit of God comes into the life of a man and takes charge of that man is found on motion. Glory to God. Look at what Luke said. He says in Acts chapter 10, he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Ghost and with power. And he did what? He went about. When the Spirit of God is upon you, you go about. You go about. The Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Jesus upon the baptism and drove him right into the wilderness. The Spirit of God causes activities. He said, when the Comforter is come, the Spirit of truth, he will teach you. So the Spirit of God is active. There's a work of the Spirit on the earth. Hallelujah. There's a work of the Spirit on the earth. Hallelujah. There's a work of the Spirit on the earth. Hallelujah. There's a work of the Spirit on the earth. Hallelujah. There's a work of the Spirit on the earth. And I'm part of it. I am part of what God is doing by His Spirit. I am part of the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God which we see in the Scriptures is not a dormant spirit. The Spirit of God which we see in the Scriptures is not a dormant spirit. No. The Spirit of God is busy. So when you are indwelt of the Spirit, hallelujah, that indwelling produces specific activities. Specific activities. That is why Jesus said, he says, let the Spirit come on you. We saw what Peter was like without the Spirit. Are we together? Without being full of the Spirit. He denied Jesus. He denied him. He was afraid. He ran away. But when the Spirit came upon him in Acts chapter 2, the same Peter God all spoke and 3,000 got saved. Hallelujah. It shows you that the Spirit of God is the answer to timidity. The Spirit of God is God's answer. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. What happened? Right in the book of Acts, they had miracles. They had miracles. Oh. So when Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. He says, they shall cast out devils. Hallelujah. They shall take off serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. He says, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Oh, he was talking about men full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In this conference, you are going to be full of the Holy Ghost. You are going to be full of the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts, we see the Spirit of God come upon men, and they spoke with tongues. So disciples are believers. Disciples are students of the life. They are believers in the ministry and the person of Jesus. They are students of his life and his ministry. They are men on mission. They are also men full of the Holy Ghost. Because ministry, the mission of Jesus Christ, is to be done by the Holy Ghost. You mustn't go out to work for God and disregard the role of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, the very first personality that we saw walking on the earth was God Himself by the Spirit. The very first personality that we saw walking on the earth was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, He says, it was dark and void. Hallelujah, pray for me. He was dark and void. It is darkness. He was without form, rather, and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. It says, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. Hallelujah. So when it's chaotic, and it's dark, and it's gloomy, and it looks bad, God's Spirit is God's answer. Are we together, church? When it looks chaotic, when it looks like a bondage, when it looks like an addiction, when it looks like an addiction, God's Spirit is God's answer. When it looks like an hindrance, like a mountain that cannot be climbed, no, God's Spirit is God's answer. Men and brethren, God is walking on the earth today. Hallelujah. And just like Jesus said, until you be endued with power. Just like Jesus said, He says, you will take up power and the Holy Ghost will be seen upon you. So in Acts 2, through the other books, text in Acts, that men did that and they were full of Holy Ghost. This conference is going to be full of Holy Ghost. What does it mean to be full of the Spirit? It means to be full of supernatural direction. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of His mission. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of His work. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of His plan. There is no plan of God without God's Spirit. So when you are full of God's Spirit, it means you are full of His plan. In this conference, I pray for you. You are going to be full of His plan. Enough of inconsistent walk. Oh, don't kneel, don't kneel, don't kneel. We can be on our feet. In order of inconsistent walk. In this conference, we are going to the full of the power of the Holy Ghost. And things that look difficult suddenly become points of victory. It will happen. It will happen. And it's going to happen by revelation. It's going to happen by insight in the Word. It's going to happen in the prayer sessions. So like I said, you see, let me also say this. In this conference, you have to be like a child. You have to have the heart of a child. There are things that will not be shown you if you don't have the heart of a child. What does it mean to have the heart of a child? To be teachable and to be open to receive. I don't know about it, but I didn't come to this conference to meet with a man. I didn't come to meet with friends. I came to receive of God. And you are going to receive to the overflow. Let's just give God praise for coming to 2026. That our eyes are going to be open. Right tonight, tomorrow morning, afternoon, Saturday, Sunday morning. That we are going to walk in clarity of His plan. It's a meeting of God's plan. It's a local church conference. It's a meeting of God's plan. It's an identity meeting. That is what this conference is. It means God will answer those questions. But beyond answering questions, God is going to make you a minister to answer other people's questions. Lift up your hands, give Him praise tonight. Every time that we gather in your name, let's have some. Go ahead, just give Him praise tonight. Feed with His plan tonight. Feed with His plan. Feed with His plan. We will see our place as disciples. We will catch on the identity. We will have imparted on us, into us, gifts and giftings of the Holy Ghost. Mysteries will be strengthened. We will see and know by the Spirit of God. God's plan will be there. Will be there. We will receive ministry of the gifts of His strength. Sick bodies are going to be used again and again and again. Even false but are not here but are represented here are going to receive healing in their homes. Oh yes. Anytime that we gather.